Oh, thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You know, Lori mentioned St. Patrick's Day. And you know, when fact becomes legend, you know what the media does? Print the legend. They'll believe it. And so the legend is that he became the patron saint of the Catholic Church in Ireland. No, he was a born-again Christian. The real story about St. Patrick, they say he drove the snakes out of Ireland. There are no snakes in Ireland. And they say, well, see? Well, there never were. So, no, he was, the story is, and I think CBN did a movie on this, or some Christian did it on who St. Patrick really was. And it wasn't the legend, it was the real story. And he was born again. Lori also talked about revival. You know, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. You will be satisfied. You got to be hungry. You got to be thirsty. We're going to talk about that a little bit.
Can I mention one thing about Asbury? I actually caught a video.
Yes. Yeah, right.
It's not just bad. They're open 24/7 to welcome people in and welcome to.
And they're coming from all over the world.
I know.
And it's going on, it's taken off in other universities and churches too. Through that, hundreds of miles away too. It's just people are getting honest. You know, you can't say too much about being honest before the Lord. And I think that's how it started, if I heard the report correctly. One young man got up and just, you know, confessed. He said, you know, I don't understand this, and I don't, because, look, discrepancies in my life, whatever. And when we are weak, oh, empty yourself of that and just say, the light reveals the darkness and the darkness has to flee. And there's nothing left but light. And God is light.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. Well, let's do our weekly confession together concerning the Bible, the Word of God. Ready? This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. Speaking of dreams, if you have a dream and it doesn't look like it's coming to pass, keep walking.
Yes.
Keep walking in the same direction. Stick to the vision. That's what we're talking about this morning, too. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13. And I'm reading from the New King James. And in verse 23, it says, "Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor." You know what fallow ground is? It's hard. You ever see a riverbed that's after a drought and it's all caked and dried and it's all broken up into squares or whatever and it's warped and it looks like death. It is death. And dry, hard, just like cement. Well, Scripture tells us that much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. You might be walking around saying, you know, I just feel so poor, like I can't get. Poor relates to people who they don't have their needs met. They don't feel connected to God. It's just this alienation that's going on. And they don't know that they're walking around with more potential than they ever dreamed of. The scripture tells us that there's much food in the uncultivated ground. In other words, the ground that has not been seeded or properly maintained or cultivated is filled, loaded with potential. But until the ground is cultivated, seeded, and maintained, it has zero possibility of producing a useful harvest. You ever known somebody, you say, man, that person could do anything they want. They could be anything they want. You ever see that kind of a person?
Yeah.
But how many of you know that just because somebody has potential doesn't mean anything? Potential alone is just potential. Very few ever realize that potential. And it's not because of lack of potential that people fail. It's the lack of vision and be able to use that, to see what that potential can be used for and produce for them. You know, so much potential is in the uncultivated ground. Potential is what might be, could be, but isn't yet. But in the heart of somebody who has vision, who sees the potential and realizes what it can do and what produce for them, now you're seeing something happen. Negative thinking, get rid of it. Possibility thinking, what was that? We were watching last night, Lori and I were watching a program called That's the Way I Heard It with Mike Rowe. You ever see that? It's on TBN. And he goes into the story of this young girl who was a ballerina, and she was in the Netherlands during the occupation of the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands and Holland. And she was dancing in this house for these people, her ballet, to play, somebody playing a piano quietly. Something by Beethoven, I don't know what it was, but it was a ballet. And when they clapped, they didn't clap, they went like this, because they didn't want to make noise and rouse the Nazis. Her brother was killed by the Nazis. Her uncle was in a ditch with a bunch of other killed by the Nazis. She herself never really realized her potential during that time, because nobody realized their potential at that time. But something in her made sure that other people's needs were met, and she took bread. That she was jaundiced, she was anemic, she had all kinds of health problems and everything, and she went in the bread line and took the two pieces of bread and gave it to somebody else, these other three kids. And she made sure that everybody else was served. Then later on, we find out that she had an Oscar. She had an Emmy. She had all these Golden Globe awards and everything. Her name was Audrey Hepburn. And she dedicated her life to serve other people. She said this, and it's worthy of quoting. For beautiful eyes, look for the good in others. For beautiful lips, speak only words of kindness. And for poise, walk with the knowledge that you're never alone. I'll tell you what, we can learn a lot from people who may not know all the truth, may not know whatever, but they use what they can. They see potential and they start using it. There's a difference. There's a big difference from having potential and fulfilling that potential and being, you got to be tenacious with it. God gave you potential for a reason. Success hinges on a lot of little things. You never know that? Just a little distraction, a little compromise, a little, you know, being off just a little bit can bring you to the entirely wrong destination. You know, I had a friend of mine who has a small twin-engine plane, was on his way to a ministry meeting one time, and at takeoff, he misread one of the gauges. And at takeoff, it was only a few, like 2 degrees off, but by the time where he was supposed to reach his destination, the airport was missing. He was nowhere near that airport. So it required getting in touch with somebody on the ground to let him where he was, get coordinates, and get him back to the airport he was supposed to be at. You see, the longer you wait to make a correction, the farther off course you get. When you're young, if you don't look at the gauges of the Word of God, the gauges of life, the gauges of truth, the gauges of righteousness, the gauges of God's love, and these gauges, if you misread those gauges, it can get you off. And the longer you wait, the greater the correction. And you know what the prisons are called? Correctional facilities. So keep yourself out of the prison, whether that prison is in here or whether you're incarcerated in a physical prison. Start reading the gauges properly at the beginning and apply them to your life. And you know what will happen? You'll be on course and you'll reach the destination that God has planned for you. Amen. Amen. Amen to that. Where am I here? Okay. How did I get all that just out of the fallow ground? Let's put that up again, Barbara, please. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. Fallow ground. You know, Jeremiah chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4 puts it this way. It says, break up. You got that up there, Barbara? Oh, yeah. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. What's he talking about? Well, sow not among thorns. What did Jesus call thorns? The cares of this life, lust of other things, the deceitfulness of fruit. Sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins from your what? Your heart. You see, when we are born again, our heart is circumcised. It's a covenant. It's an inner covenant with the Lord in your spirit. You have a circumcision of the spirit, not of the flesh. And they, according to the law, if you weren't circumcised, you'd be cut off from Israel, from the commonwealth of Israel, from the promises and blessings of the covenant of Abraham. You're cut off. So what he's saying here is break up the fallow ground, that hard pan, hard-heartedness, that unwillingness to believe, that willful unbelief. Break it up. Get rid of it. How do you do that? We're going to talk about that. And take away the foreskins of your heart. Circumcise your heart, you men of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest something bad happen. In Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, he says this, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness on. He's going to take that bucket and rain righteousness on. Why? Because you broke up the fallow ground. You broke it up. You see, in fallow ground, which is dry, it's a drought, there's still wind that blows, and it blows the dead seeds and all the from the wheat and from the grass and so forth and from, and it drives them down into the cracks. I got to hurry because we're out of time today because I'm leave out parts, a bunch of stuff. But here's what happens: just a little rain, little at first, and it starts to soften. And then the heavier rains come, and it starts, and the grass, and then before you know it, that creek bed or that fallow ground is producing like it never produced before, just as if there was never a drought. Just as if, because instead of looking on the surface and the hardness of heart, focus on what's in, because you know what? What's in your heart, what's deep down there, far beyond what you can see or feel emotionally, farther down than that, you have something on the inside of you, are the seeds of life, the seeds of God's love, the seeds of faith, and the seeds of hope. And just a little bit of praying in the Holy Spirit, just a little bit of fellowship with other believers who know how to get a hold of God, just a little of that, and it waters and softens your heart again, and it starts producing. And you forget about the old stuff. Why? You've broken up the fallow ground and you allowed God's voice to come in again and God to hear you. And you can hear him. He can hear you. All of a sudden you have fellowship with the Father again. Just a little rain, the moisture, the living water. In John 7, Jesus stood up and cried with a loud voice, "If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And he who believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of life." Amen. And he spoke that about the Spirit. Whew, glory to God. And that Spirit is in you. It's the well of salvation that you can draw from anytime you want. And it comes out in tongues. It comes out in interpretation. It comes out in prophecies. Then you start believing the word of God again. And the fountain starts coming. And the water starts coming. And it's the wells of salvation, of healing, of deliverance, of peace. I'm telling you something. There's more inside of you. Get past the hardness of heart. I don't care if you've failed. If you have been hurt. If you have suffered loss. Don't turn away and get all hard. Don't let that go on. If you need correction, do it now. If you need to cultivate that fallow ground, do it now, because there's a lot of food that you're missing out on. There's a lot of blessing that you're missing out. There's a lot of strength and healing and power and life. Blessing. Yes. Multiplication going on that you're missing out on. Don't let the hardness of heart come to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I know that you have more for me than this.
Mm.
God's vision. You've got to look at yourself the way God looks at you. With potential. You may be uncultivated. You may be unseeded. You may be whatever. But the seeds of life, when you were born again, and the seeds of life that came into you, of faith, hope, love, joy. Not just any joy, his joy. And he is exceeding abundant joy. Overflowing with joy. It's not boring. It's not boring. See, every one of us here, when we were born again, you had a vision. Somebody said, "Well, I didn't have a vision. I didn't see anything." No, I'm not talking about these. When you were born again, you had a peace in your heart. That peace produced something. You could see yourself as something else than you've ever been before.
Amen.
Okay? That peace is your guide. It's the umpire of your decisions. It can tell you when you're off just a little, when the gauge is off 2 degrees. It can tell you that it'll put an alarm in there. Don't take that correction as condemnation. Take it as correction. Just say this, I receive my sonship, my daughtership. There's only two, by the way. I receive my standing as a child of God now, forever. Okay, so now you're a child of God. All right, so don't get condemned, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. Some people say that's not in there, but it is in verse 4. Don't listen to people. Listen to the Word. The Word will tell you exactly right. I'm not saying don't listen to me, because I'm quoting the Word. and I'm trying to encourage you. But here's but here's the thing. That peace is your gauge. If you don't feel like you have faith to believe God for something, then you're not seeing the gauge as it is. Get back in the Word. Or get hold of somebody on the ground, okay? In other words, get hold of somebody who's grounded in that faith, who has wisdom, who has counsel, who can guide you the right way and get you back so that gauge is point perfect. And then your faith will start working again. But sometimes you have to go back and touch first base, because you can hit a home run out of the park, but if you miss first base, you're out. Amen. Oh, where are we? Sometimes I get emotional about these things because they're things that are in me that are so real, and I see so many people walking without it, and they get so discouraged so easily. You don't have to be discouraged by what's out here when the greater one is on the inside of you, and he is greater than anything that you face, and he will equip you. Look, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm telling you something. I'm talking about much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. Much, 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 much more than you think. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we got that one? Chapter 30. It says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power, no more strength to weep." Can you imagine having no more strength to even weep? We talked about this a little earlier after Jolene gave us that prophecy. Verse 5. "And David's two wives..." Now you got to understand, this is an Old Testament concept. Two wives. "And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, who was a jerk." He really was, man. He was a piece of work. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him." Now his own men, who he took from nothing and made him something, now they want to stone him. "Because the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." But David did something. David encouraged himself before the Lord. How do you do that when things are going wrong, when you're way off course and you don't know how to get back? You don't know. All you know is how you feel. All you know is what you don't have. All you know is what you can't do, what you should have done, and now you're in the fix. David was cornered. What did he do? It says he encouraged himself before the Lord. Where are we? Verse 6, please. If we can go back there, Barbara. "But David..." There's a but there. See, and when you're in a situation, you've got to say, "But I'm still a child of God. But I can still put my faith to work. My faith is a servant for me." Did you know faith is a servant? He goes into that in Luke 17. He said, "Forgive if you have aught against any." And Peter said, "Well, should I forgive seven times?" And the Lord says, "No, 70 times seven." In one day? Yeah. What is he talking about? Be prepared to walk in mercy. Be prepared to forgive. Yeah. It's forgive. So he's saying, walk this way. Well, the disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith." And he said, if you have faith as a seed, you would say to the sycamore tree, and it would obey you. Faith, and he says, but which of you having a servant? See, faith is your servant. God has given you faith for a reason, to use it, to put it to work for you, and to bring you those things that he's already given by his grace. You following me here? Okay. So, verse 6 says, David encouraged himself before the Lord his God. How did he do that? Okay, Lord, here I am. I remember when I was shepherding those sheep and this bear came and he got one of them and I took the thing out of his paw and I killed that bear. Then a lion came and took another sheep and I smacked him and killed him. I grabbed him by his beard. And can you imagine hitting a lion so hard that you kill him? That's the Samson anointing, I'm telling you. You know, Samson wasn't one of these muscle guys, but the anointing of strength came on him and he was stronger than any man. Anyhow, and I remember those times. And then I remember when I went to bring provisions to my brothers who were at war, and then I saw that giant. Lord, one stone is all I needed because you're with me. One blow to that lion was all I needed because you're with me. One blow to that bear was all I needed because you were with me. And then after I slew the giant, the whole army got together. You brought the whole army behind me, and we chased all the Philistines back to Gath and killed them all. And his four brothers. That's why he had five smooth stones, by the way, because the brothers of Goliath were next. That's how you encourage yourself. But rehearse the miracles. Rehearse the fact, I remember the night I was born again. I know I'm yours. I know I'm yours. Get me back to that peace. You know, that start rehearsing the miracles and the things that he's done in your life. Those are the testimonies that stand in your heart to pick you up. Remember your testimony. Remember those things. Start speaking those things and start letting it overflow. Let the rivers of life and the wells of salvation start watering that and encourage yourself before the Lord. This word, encourage, by the way, it means to seize upon. Seize upon what God says about you. Seize upon what God says about the situation. Seize what the truth says about what you are, who you are, what you have, and all you can do, and where you are seated. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And start speaking. And let your tongue be the tongue of a ready writer. And start writing God's script for you in this situation. Remember, much food is found. Is he still your advocate with the Father? Is he still your intercessor within you who's right there? Is he still the Lord your provider? Is he still the Lord your shepherd who leads you beside the still waters and in green pastures and makes you lie down in green pastures? Is he still the same Lord? Yeah. Because he doesn't change. That's what he says about himself. Doesn't matter what you're going. He doesn't change. Psalm 46, verses 4 and 5 says, there is a river, the streams of which make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. That right early is a King James, but it would be better to say, God is in the midst of her. God shall help her, and that at the dawning of the new day that he's bringing every single day. The dawn of that day happened when Jesus came into this world, and he offered himself for us, rose from the dead, gave us the Spirit from whom we can come and drink and be everything that he created us to be. There's potential in you. Now, we got to stick to the vision. I remember Kenneth Copeland sharing the story one time, many years ago, but he was Oral Roberts' pilot, and he was also the chauffeur to take him from the hotel to the meetings where he was taking. And one day after a meeting, he got in the car. Oral Roberts is right in back of him, and Kenneth is driving, and Oral Roberts had a pretty booming voice. And he said, "Kenneth!" He said, "I almost drove off the road, man." He said, my heart came so high up into my throat, I almost choked. "Yeah, yes, sir. Kenneth, do these three things and you will never fail at anything in your life. Anything God tells you, you will never fail." Well, all of a sudden, he was all ears. Woo, yeah. He said, "Number one is find out the will of God. In any situation, find out what he's saying. Find out what he wants you to do. Find out the will of God and let that become your vision and mission. Find out what God's doing. Find out what he wants you to do. Do what he says to do." You know, when you let his will be your mission, you'll be standing when everybody else is blown away. Because it says, "He who does the will of God abides forever." It doesn't matter what shape you're in. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Well, it does. I mean, but the thing is, get that vision going on the inside and stick to that vision. Let his will become your vision and mission. Mission, that's what you need to focus on, the mission. And then go to the Word of God. Get it, back it up with Scripture. Saying, Lord, you said this. You said this in your word, and I'm a doer of the word. This is your will. I am finding out your will, and I am doing your will. Your word is your will. I'm holding this up to you. I am one with your will right now because I'm walking in it. Find out what the will of God is. Number two is, he said, after you find out what the will of God is, don't confer with flesh and blood about it at all. Confer no longer with flesh and blood. What does that mean? Well, you study the Bible long enough, you're going to find out that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of hearing by the spoken word of God. Faith comes by hearing the spoken word of God. Now, if God has spoken to you, you know you've heard from God. I mean, when you know that you know that you know that you know it down in your knower that you know, you've heard from God, right? Well, you just heard from God. That means you have faith to carry out what he said to do. And if you start conferring with flesh and blood, 9 times out of 10, you know what they'll do? They'll talk you out of it because they haven't heard from God. They don't have the faith to agree with you or to stand with you or to even pray effectively with you. He said, don't confer with them. They're not your source. They are not your counsel. The Holy Spirit is your counsel. God is your source. So confer no longer with flesh and blood. And you can be confident of this too. This is from an old movie, but I liked it. And it's true, because it's what the Bible teaches. The whole world will stand aside for a man who knows where he's going, or a woman who knows where she's going. The whole world will stand aside for a man who knows where he's going and what he's doing. They will stand aside for you. You know, they may give you a lot of grumbling and mumbling and a lot of cackle and crackle and heckling at first. But you'll notice when Billy Graham's funeral procession was going down the highways and people were down on highways, on the side and on bridges and everything, just waving to him to honor the man and what he did. The whole world will stand aside for a man who's knowing where he's going and who knows what he's doing. That doesn't mean you know what you're doing all the time. I don't know what to do all the time, so I go to God. And I say, okay, fill me in. You know, if you think you know everything, you're going to miss God. But if you stop and say, okay, what you got? Let me have it. And he will. He'll let you know exactly what's going on. See, he knows the devil's plans before the devil does. He knows where things are coming from before you even get a hint. So when you get his counsel, you are getting the foreknowledge. You can see the end from the beginning, and you can simply walk in it and make the right decisions and get to your destination, because all of your gauges would be pointing exactly correct. Number three is get the job done at all costs. Spare no expense to get it done. You know what? When we moved into this building, we had like 15 people. And they were looking at me like I was nuts. I looked at me like I was nuts. So how can you do this? Well, I had a peace on the inside. That peace that I felt when I was born again. That peace that is a compass. The peace that gives me direction and guidance and counsel. That peace told me yes, to say yes. And I did it. And we signed that lease, put ourselves on the hook for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Not that I had it in the natural, but I saw it come, because I saw that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And either he is or he isn't. And I know he is, so my name, Lori's name, we went on that lease. And if the thing failed, we would have been on the hook to pay a whole lot of money. Takes faith. And you know what? It takes just as much faith to do that as it does to raise the dead or heal the sick or anything else. It's the same faith, and it works the same way. When you get yourself out of the way and say, okay, I'm going to follow God regardless. I'm going to do this regardless. My job is to lay hands on the sick. Their job is to receive. Faith, healing always comes, but healing is seldom received. Let's put it this way. Healing is not always received. So you got to receive it. Get the job done. Spare no expense and get the job done. See, these are guideposts along the way in my life. I'm sharing them with you. You can use them or lose them. But it has worked for me, and I'm sharing it with you. It speaks of being sold out to the will of God. It speaks of knowing that whatever situation it is, has there been discouragement along the way? Oh yeah, there's been a lot of discouragement along the way. But you encourage yourself before the Lord. You know, the enemy's going like this, sharpening up his knives and everything. That's all. Gonna eat you for lunch. I'm gonna encourage myself before the Lord and remember who I was before I was born again. And who I am now that I am born again. I've gone from one kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I have been delivered from the power of darkness, and now I am lit up with the light of the living God. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. Praise God. You know, this reminds me too, I shared with you the other week about our nursing home ministry, and it just works the same way. We were in one nursing home. We had four people. We went to another nursing home. They called us in. Lori had lunch. And they said, can you come here? And we said, well, I said, I don't have the volunteers to do that, but something inside me is saying, yes, do it. And all of a sudden, we had more volunteers. Another one. I said, something's telling me to do yes. And all of a sudden, we had more volunteers. And then a fourth one, more volunteers. It's the way it works. You commit yourself, and then God commits himself. I mean, why would he give you a gift of healing if you're not going to lay hands on the sick? Why would he give you provision if you're not going to commit yourself, if you're not going to believe him? Are you getting anything out of this? I'm telling you, I'm glad I came today. I'm glad. Answer to 1,000 questions. Get the gauges right. Be led. Be led. Match it up with the Word of God. God's Word cannot fail. His love cannot fail. His hope will make you strong enough to carry through. And his faith always works. Praise God. I'm going to stop there. Remember, you have potential. You may not see it. You may feel hard on the outside. But look deeper. See where God sees and start praying in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't got the Holy Spirit praying in tongues, you come up here afterwards. We'll lay hands on you and you will get the gift. It is an amazing gift, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, letting it just overflow. And God, it's the language that angels understand that gives them assignments. And things happen when you pray in tongues. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the potential that you've placed in all of us. Lord, we choose to break up the ground of our religion, of our traditions, and all the things that bind and hold us back, that distort our view of who you really are in us and who we are in you. Thank you, Father, for the light of truth. Have it carve out all of those things that don't belong. Let them fall to the earth and die, because you have raised us up in Christ, and we thank you that we are seated in him, in the spirit realm, in authority. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're going through a hard time, remember, look down deeper. It's in there, the seeds of his love and life and power and faith and authority. Hallelujah. And you will stay on course. One more time. Okay, I didn't write that down, so. Okay, listen to the, go on the website on testamentoflove.org and listen to the message. Praise God. So if it touched you, praise God.